American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, April 21, 2005. It's Thursday, that day that nobody likes. It's the day after Wednesday, day before Friday. Some people say that Tuesday's a really hard day. I think Tuesdays and Thursdays are equally hard because you just got to get through today and then you still got tomorrow, but you're almost there. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but that's what you got to do. But to make your day easier, this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against all the cults of the world that are trying to take over your brain. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. My live journal can be reached at sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say Super Pope. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, and wait, what the hell? Yes, there's another station now carrying Newsreel. It's the truth. We are, in fact, taking over the entire internet. The whole web is soon going to fall under WOG control. WOGs are everywhere. Now, have you noticed that WOGs are just moving around the world, and a new recruitment source for the WOGs would be Radio306.com. Very happy to have you guys on board and all those awesome Radio306.com listeners who happen to be listening right now. Welcome to the real world, because let me tell you, here on Newsreel, we are just going to give it to you straight, hard, and fast without very much lube. You are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. That means you can burn it to disc, you can put it on your iPod, you can put it on other people's iPods. Hell, you could, like, buy yourself a record player, press an album, and play it on a phonograph. Which, incidentally, it'd be kind of cool to take, like, an iPod, buy yourself an old, like, record player, and then, like, rip the guts out so you look like you got a record player that's playing music, but it's really not. There's a lot of, you know, retrofit stuff you can do with old tech, which I think is really, really cool. Something I'd like to be retrofitted with, but unfortunately we got nothing out there right now that'll do that, is a new back. Because, you know, there's something about owning a particular breed of dog. I have a bully breed cross. I got, like, I think he's a Staffordshire or a Pitty crossed with a pointer. Everybody knows him. His name is Ranger, and he's obsessed with pulling on rope. And like an idiot, I got up this morning, grabbed the rope, went outside with him so he'd leave me alone so I could do the damn show. And, of course, he grabs hold of it and, you know, put all of his hero points into one good tug, and I think he fried my back. I'm not too sure. I can't feel my legs at all. I had to drag myself into the study here, and, you know, I've been barking blood for the last 20 minutes, but I figure since I'm using this software, I should be able to stop every 10 seconds and keep recording the show. Beyond that, I'll just keep eating all the meth I can get my hands on, some more smack speed, gunpowder, and any heroin, and bun. Sure enough, we'll get the show out there today. Don't you worry, kids, because after all, this is about mission team self, right? That's what the goal is. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, many years ago, the distinguished political philosopher Isaiah Berlin, wow, that's quite the name, made an important distinction between negative liberty and positive liberty. Negative liberty is freedom from, as in freedom from constraint, freedom from being told what to do by others. Positive freedom liberty is known as freedom to, the availability of opportunities to be the author of your life and to make it meaningful and significant. Often, these two kinds of liberties will go together. If the constraints people want freedom from are rigid enough, they won't be able to attain the freedom to, but these two types of liberty need not always go together. And that was from Zizek. So I thought that was a pretty interesting statement, and it's good to look at a lot of great thinkers who've gone before us, because, you know, if you rely on me to do all your thinking for you, boy, if you got a problem, you're going to wind up barking on blood after some pit bull ripped you in half, too. Not so good. Well, of course, my dog didn't really rip me in half, and it was... Actually, I shouldn't have even said that, you know, because it's always, you know, the pit bull. Pit bulls have become this horrible, you know, thing that everybody just assumes is this vicious, savage animal. And really, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just that he likes to play with the pull toy, and I hadn't warmed up yet, that stupid animal. Oh, well, he's outside chewing on the rope. What do I care? Let's get some more feedback. Dear Sean, I notice you suggest military kit surplus quite a lot. Yes, it's because it's cheap, highly effective, and lasts. It isn't always a good idea. Not always, no. Not because it isn't durable, but because it isn't under the same scrutiny as civilian kit. Ah, that's a good point. In other words, quite a lot of it uses toxic material. For example, anything that has wool, anything that is wool and has the demothing agent on it, demothing agent is extremely toxic. Look it up on Google. Another big nasty is kark. Kark, the paint used to defeat chemical damage. All the trucks, radios, etc. that are dark green are painted with kark. Kark is carcinogenic. They tell you straight out in the forces these days not to lick it, as if that's the only way to get cancer from it, so beware of the kark. Kark! Oh no, it's kark! Captain Kark. Any chips in kark are extreme hazard and should be turned to material tax. Oh, they never are, though. Newer ammo boxes are the same color and texture, however, I cannot confirm if they are kark. There are numerous other examples as well. Thank you, Ricky Rocket, so be aware of that. Don't go licking any ammo boxes or military trucks or nothing like that. And you do want to make sure you wash all the military kit you buy thoroughly, and I mean thoroughly, 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 so that maybe even dry clean it or something, so you can make sure you get all the nasty, weird chemicals they treat that stuff with out of the clothing. I don't need clothing anymore because I can't feel my leg, but that's okay. Maybe I could go down and I'll move in with Smokehouse. You know, we'll build like Mecca. We'll build like synthetic legs for ourselves. You know, every single person has thought of that. They always go, you know, what would be the disability that would make me shoot myself? You know, nobody wants to really talk about it, but there is the ones. You know, personally, I think for me, going blind would probably check me out. Now, I know there's a lot of blind listeners that listen, so I don't know for sure, but, you know, you have to have some sort of a mental image. I mean, if I did go blind, the thing that might save my butt would be I'd probably, you know, pick up a samurai sword and get all Satoshi about it. Which, incidentally, if you haven't seen that new remake of Satoshi yet, the guy who stars in it, I can't remember his name, but he played the Chinese Yakuza guy in Johnny Mnemonic. So if you haven't seen Johnny Mnemonic, you want to rent Johnny Mnemonic, which is not half the film that Satoshi is, and they got some Kodo drumming in there. It's very kind of a weird film. They have like a mixture of like dance and drumming. It's almost like a Japanese version of Ninja Stomp with some video game graphics in it. But wow, I'll tell you, Japanese cinema is pretty dope. I was over at Sims the other night. We watched that Akira Kurosawa movie, The Seven Samurai. And wow, you know, for a film made in the 50s, that's some badass movie going on there. That's some badass movie. So if you haven't had a chance, I mean, old cinema, there's a lot to be said for it. And, you know, the way it's all just done, you know, the mood, the atmosphere, film noir kicks butt. That's what I say. And, you know, everyone has noticed now, everybody's all into what's new, new and improved. Everything's new and quicker and faster. But there's lots of movies that have come out that are just fantastic in the 50s and in the 60s. Like, if you haven't seen Easy Rider, you could remake Easy Rider today and do some minor changes. Maybe you could like remake it as a web film or something about the internet rather than bikers. But I mean, a lot of these films are truly relevant. And the great thing about this is when you look back at counterculture films throughout the decades, you realize that we are not alone in the world, you know, because quite often as WOGs we feel alone. We are part of a lineage, a long and stretched out lineage of counterculture that got stretches as far back as we've been recording media and art. And before, you know, it was the counterculture, it was the Bohemians involved with the Art Nouveau scene, and you look at all the way that we've been competing against. You know, it's always been the people with the open minds trying to force open those with the closed minds, and it's a constant battle. But I think that now, thanks to the internet and thanks to all of you out there who are willing to spread the virus, we are stronger now as a counterculture movement than we ever have been in the past. And you should give yourself a pat on the back. So don't give in to all the fear that's being spread around in the world right now over this terrorism. Everything's crap. Oh, my God. You know, the Pope's in. He's the Black Pope. There's a new Pope, and he's going to be, you know, the evil Pope and Pope, 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 Pope. You know, dude, we're doing all right. Nobody's got a problem here. We're going to be just freaking fine. So just, you know, hunker down. Everybody's good. Eat your wog food, and we will get through this sucker. Let's get on to sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I need some advice. I've been going to community college for about 2 semesters, and I have no clue as to what I want to do with my life. I know this is a common problem with students, as I've already explored the first 2 paths that interest me, computer science and political science. Neither have a future that is attractive. Should I talk to a counselor? Maybe, but you're the closest thing I have to a role model in my life, and I value your opinion. Oh my God, that's a frightening concept. I'm getting really freaked out by the fact that majority of my friends are leaving for real colleges in a few semesters. and I still have my thumb up my ass. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I'm a smart guy. I know I can excel at whatever I choose to do, but I can't seem to find anything that makes me say, fuck yeah. And any advice you can offer me would help. Okay, I'm going to lay this out to you. This is actually a great question because there's all kinds of young people out there who have no idea what to do with their lives. And I've received a few emails from people going, Sean, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm out of high school. I got to go to college. I got to go to university. I got to make all these choices. Okay, first of all, dude, you're probably like in your teens. Okay, you're probably in your teens still, late teens, early 20s. That means that you have not lived at all. You do not know what you want to do with your life. There's a famous statement, which is that so often the youth is wasted on the young. And that's because you don't know what you want. You know, how can you know what you want? It's not your fault, but you don't know what you want. You don't know what you're into because you have no frame of reference. You have nothing to, you think that political science would be cool, you know? You've seen the Tom Clancy movies, you like Jack Ryan, so poli-sci is cool, right? You get on the internet, you screw around with computers, so obviously computer science is cool, right? All right, well, here's my formula that I have formulated over the years to help young people decide what it is they want to do with their lives. First of all, you need to relax. You need to sit down and take some time, and you're going to need a notepad, a piece of paper for this. So don't write down what you want. Figure out what you don't want. Ask yourself, what don't I want to do? And you don't have to be specific with trade, saying, I don't want to work outside. I don't want to work in the rain. I don't want to have a boss looking over my shoulder. I don't want to have to get a medical implant. I don't want to fight in a war. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You write down everything you don't want to do, and that becomes your filter. Now, the next thing you want to consider, which in any situation, and this is true for any situation whatsoever where you have to make a decision. This is another one of those Sean criteria points. The next thing you want to consider is whenever you're making a tough decision, you must consider the economics. All right, no matter what you choose to do with your life, and believe me, I mean, I am a crazy internet radio man and author. Well, you know what? Quite often when you're writing, some days it's like pulling teeth. So no matter what you choose to do, it will eventually become work. Okay, no matter what you choose to do, whether you love it or not, eventually down the road, sure, you love it right now, but 5 years from now, you will have changed as a person, blah, blah, blah. And what you've chosen to do will have become work. So you work to do what? You work to make money. This is why you work for other people. You work to make money. So when you're done running through all the options of things you don't want to do, make a list of all the options that of jobs that you could do. Not that you want to do, but you could do these jobs. Yeah, I could do this. Yeah, I could do that. I could be a doctor. I could be a lawyer. I could be a garbage man. I could be a park ranger. I could be a soldier. I could be this. I could be that. Then you write down beside them all their current salaries. Yes, that's right. Money. Money. Because you're working for these people to make money so that you can buy the things you want so that you can have fun. This is the purpose of life. I believe firmly that the purpose of life is to have fun. We work to make money to have fun. Even if you got a family, you work to feed your family. And with the excess cash, what do you do with it? You have fun. Because that's the role in life, is to have fun. And if you're not having fun, then what the hell is the point of existence? So what you want to do is prioritize your list in stuff that makes the most money. So you go for the thing that makes the most money, that made it through the stuff that you don't want to do filter, and that is your goal. That's your target. Now, if you're like, I would avoid currently, and this is my own personal opinion, I would avoid private business. Do not go into business for yourself because the rules have changed in the last 25 years as to new business. Now they're saying that people who start business, they actually say this now, that people who start a business should not expect to turn a profit for the first 5 years. So I ask you, how in the hell is a business or someone supposed to survive for 5 years working full-time at a job making no money? How does that work? There's an industry which has been created, and that industry is to help other people go into debt by starting businesses that are destined to fail. Nobody wants a new business to make it. Because the more businesses there are, the more competition there is. So everyone will help you try to start a new business. Oh, you betcha they will. But what start a new business means is drive your body so far into debt that you got no chance of possibly taking another kick of the cat after you made a few simple business mistakes, which, believe you me, are easy to make. Now, you've also got to be really, really careful with what you think your strengths and weaknesses are. I mean, if you say, I want to be an astronaut, but you're not so good with the math, well, you better get rational here and don't tell other people your plans. Don't tell other people what you want to be because they're either going to be overinflating your ego or underinflating your ego. This is your life. This is about the most private thing you can possibly do. You're making decisions about the things you want to do for the rest of your life. Make sure that you choose a job that does pay some money. Being cool is cool, but being cool and 50 cents gets you a cup of coffee, you know, so bear that in mind. There's lots to be said for, you know, going out there, making a difference in the world. But if you can't look after yourself, you sure as shit can't look after anybody else. And this is why nobody takes all these, you know, Greenpeace activists and stuff like that seriously. You want to make sure that you, you know, money is important. You've got to. So what are we talking about here? Let's just sum up here. We got make a list of the things you don't want. Prioritize them according to cash. Don't be afraid of being wrong and make sure that you got, you know, a good chance of making these jobs. You know, if you come from like a low income neighborhood, you got no cash and you want to be president of the United States, chances are you're not going to make that sucker. So you got to formulate a battle plan. And essentially today for young people, don't think of it as planning your life. Think of it as escaping the machine. Because there's a whole lot of people that don't want you to be a doctor. There's a whole lot of people that have put things in place, schools in place, universities in place, tests in place, to snag you on the barbed wire of existence so that you cannot make it onto the fields of victory. It's the truth. Okay, so you have to make sure that while you're planning your life, you plan it tactically. You have to get through these obstacles that are in your way. You have to navigate obstacles. You have to overcome, improvise, and adapt. Okay, and you can't let anything get in your path. So that is my criteria for deciding what you want to do with your life. Hope it helps. Now, let's get into some newsreel. I'll catch you later. Now, it seems that there's an Argentinian former Navy captain who just got sentenced to a brisk 640 years in jail. On Tuesday for crimes against humanity. Can you imagine that, getting sent to jail for 640 years? They were convicting him of throwing political prisoners from planes. I guess he was throwing them out of the planes, no chutes and none of that, during Argentina's dirty war. Okay, now, I happen to think of myself as a fairly informed person, but I didn't know anything about a dirty war in Argentina. Did anybody else know anything about this? Probably. There's a lot more people out there, and they probably heard of this thing, but I'd never heard of the dirty war. Adolfo Silingo, who's 58, was put on trial in Spain for genocide. Oh boy. The first in Spain under laws that allowing prosecution of crimes committed in another country. The court rules that crimes against humanity was the correct legal term. Without a doubt, this is a historic sentence from a historic trial. We are extremely satisfied, said Carlos Slepoy, a lawyer for the Argentine dirty war victims who brought the case. Now, this is a case we need to report on, because I would like to see if America would wind up being charged by courts like this, because, you know, they'd have a case. Whether or not I agree with the cases, regardless, but they would have a case. This is a partial justice for the 30,000 disappeared, says Andrea Benitez Dumont, who was kidnapped by the Argentinian military. Argentina has got, like, a really weird history, you know. A lot of the Nazis escaped to Argentina. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in Argentina. Maybe, you know, if that's what all of these crazy, psycho, evil terrorist groups are doing, you know, the white supremacist crowd and all that sort of jazz, they all take off and go to these weird third world nations to set up their bases of operations. And you look at crazy cults and stuff like that, like Jonestown, they went down there, started up their base of operations. And then there was that psycho Nazi and his weird, you know, I don't know, wiener schnitzel cult he had on the go, where everyone's wearing those crazy shorts and, you know, everyone's dressed like that, doing the homage thing. Yeah. Well, he was down there, too. So I'm thinking, you know, just to fit in, I think we WOGs should set up a third world base somewhere in some country. Where do you think we should go? I want to know, what's a good third world nation that we WOGs, you know, our money's got to be worth like 25 times what it is here, so that basically on monthly donations of about $40, I can go down there and set up this massive compound, you know, have security forces, and we'll get a big chunk of backbone bandwidth down there, maybe upload, download through satellites, and, you know, we'll just get all Cobra Commander about this whole thing. I don't know, it seems like the popular thing to do, and a possible thing to do. Now, you may think that 640 years was a bit much to sentence some 58-year-old dude to. Personally, I think that's retarded. If the guy's guilty of war crimes, shoot the bastard, that's what I say. But prosecutors had sought a sentence of 9,138 years, so really, he got off pretty light. Hey, maybe he'll be out in 300 if he can get parole. Now, moving right along, nothing to see here, move along. Now, you got to understand that Africa, as I've discussed before, this is the same place where they got reports of cannibalism coming out of in Africa, okay? The United Nations is saying that down in Africa, there are women who claim that their children were boiled alive in front of them in huge pots by the militias down there, and then they ate the kids. I want you to try to grasp that. Try to grasp watching your little brother or little sister being boiled alive and then eaten by soldiers. Okay, and you're going to step up to me about forgiveness? No. No, 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 no. I'm going to be absolutely wigging my mind completely out of my brain now. I'm just going to, you know, promise my soul to the eternal powers of darkness provided I get to walk you through the gates of hell. If you boiled alive my family and ate them, I mean, there's no forgiveness there. How the hell are you supposed to make that happen? But check this out. Also, when you're talking about countries that have huge, huge civil unrest and massive problems, Zimbabwe is in really bad shape. But, of course, nobody in Zimbabwe in the ruling party who's, you know, killing their people and are not want any outside intervention. And if you know, it's like, it's our war, we should be able to kill our own people, and you can't get involved. Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe, says he's a lot wiser now and has no need of Western help in a speech marking 25 years of independence. Yeah. So he's got his own little nightmare. Go do some research on this piece of shit. Mr. Mugabe blamed Zimbabwe's economic crisis on ruinous World Bank and IMF programs during the 1990s. Well, he's probably got some truth there because the World Bank does screw these countries. His critics blame it on the land reform program, which saw white-owned farms handed to the landless black people and it resulted in food shortages. Well, now we're getting into some hardcore political stuff here. We're talking about seizure of food. We're talking about giving away, you know, some people's land to other groups of people. It's all got ethnic tie-ins. I mean, the whole thing is just a massive shit sandwich down there. Mr. Mugabe has ruled Zimbabwe since 1980, but is expected to step down in 2008. Don't you believe it. And celebrations at a sports stadium were attended by several African and current formal leaders. Critics say the short guest list illustrated Mr. Mugabe's international isolation. He is banned from the United States and European Union after being accused of rigging elections. Well, that's no reason to ban the guy. Bush rigged the election. What the hell difference does that make? He also defended recent polls in which Western critics and the opposition said his elections were rigged. And he turns around and says, we never agitate to observe their elections and therefore let them keep away from our affairs. You rip off your people and we'll rip off ours. Now, it is important for us to get out there in the world and stop some of the nightmare things that are happening, especially in countries like Africa. You know, there are just nightmarish things that are going on around the world, and these things need to be stopped. We need to have people who are willing to stand up and go, whoa, all right? You're eating people. Hello? At some point, you have to, you know, just sort of take a big step back. Now, in one of the... Let's get away from Africa for a minute, because that is the heart of darkness right down there right now. I'm so afraid. And then you got diseases breaking out down there. I don't know what the hell declared war on Africa, but that whole continent has just had a bad time for as long as I can remember. Can you remember a time when Africa was cool? I can't. Now, check this out. Thumb your nose at authority much. Now, this is brilliant. In a victory for pranksters at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a bunch of computer-generated gibberish masquerading as an academic paper has been accepted at a scientific conference. Jeremy Stibling said Thursday that he and two other fellow MIT graduate students, who will probably not be able to find jobs, questioned the standards of some academic conferences. So they wrote a computer paper to generate research papers complete with context-free grammar, charts, and diagrams. The trio submitted the randomly assembled papers to the World Multi-Conference on Systemics, Cybernetics, and Informatics, the WMSCI, scheduled to be held on July 10th through 13th in Orlando, Florida. To their surprise, one of the papers, Router, a methodology for the typical unification of access points and redundancy, was accepted for presentation, if you can believe this. The prank recalled a 1996 hoax in which New York University physicist Alan Sokol succeeded in getting an entire paper with a mix of truths, falsehoods, and non sequiturs and otherwise meaningless mumbo-jumbo published in the quarterly journal Social Text, published by Duke University Press. Now, that's awesome. It shows that nobody's really checksumming the stuff that's coming out of these universities. And these are the things. Now, bear in mind, these university papers and these conferences are what the core political are basing a lot of their drug research and stuff like that on. So when you can send in computer-generated gibberish, how much, you know, validity do these computer papers really have? Reuter featured such mind-bending gems as, quote, "The model for our heuristic consists of four independent components, simulated annealing, active networks, flexible modalities, and the study of reinforcement learning. And, quote, we implemented our scatter gather IO server in Simula 67, augmented with opportunistic pipelined extensions. Okay. Now, if this kind of stuff gets published at a scientific conference, man, I'm here to tell ya. The idea of fake submissions was to counter, check this out, fake conferences which exist only to make money, explained Stripling and his cohort's website, SCI Gen, an automatic CS paper generator. Our aim is to maximize amusement rather than coherence, it said. The website allows users to generate a random paper themselves with fields for inserting optional author names. Now, that is an amazing story because it does show just how limited our scientists are. No one, if they're having these conferences, and these conferences are just there to make money, that means that they're, don't you see how many of these stories, news stories, they say, well, at this conference they found this information, now, you know, being a vegetarian is child abuse, it was said at this conference. Suddenly, if you put conference on it, it gives everything some kind of validity, and if you don't believe that the core politicals know that, check out how many papers the core politicals quote that were done at conferences, but nobody ever checks some of these conferences. Who the hell paid for the conference? You see how it works? It's all just manipulation. Now, in other news, this is the best piece of news I've heard in a while. You ready for this one? This is just for the guys and the grown-ups. Jerk off! It's good for you! It'll make you go blind. It'll make your palms grow hairy. Such myths about masturbation are largely a thing of the past. But the latest research has even better news for young men. Frequent self-pleasuring could protect you against the most common kind of cancer. This is outstanding. A team in Australia, which I'm not surprised, led by Graham Gills of the Cancer Council of Victoria and Melbourne, asked 1,079 men with prostate cancer to fill out a questionnaire detailing their sexual habits and compare them with responses from 1,259 healthy men of the same age. The team concluded that the more men ejaculate between the ages of 20 and 50, the less likely they are to develop prostate cancer. Dun, dun, dun! The protective effect is greatest while men are in their 20s. Those who ejaculated more than 5 times per week in their 20s, for instance, were one-third less likely to develop aggressive prostate cancer in life. And this is from the BJU International, Volume 29, Volume 92, page 211. The results contradicted those of previous studies, which have suggested that having many sexual partners or a high frequency of sexual activity increases the risk of prostate cancer by up to 40%. The key difference is that these earlier studies defined sexual activity as sexual intercourse, whereas the latest study found focused on the numbers of ejaculations, whether or not intercourse was involved. The team speculates that infections caused by intercourse may increase the risk of prostate cancer. Had we been able to remove ejaculations in association with sexual intercourse, there should have been an even stronger projective effect of other ejaculations, they suggest. Men have many ways of using their prostate which do not involve women or other men, Gillies adds. Well, that will just leave that for the mind. So don't worry about jerking off. You're not going to go blind. In fact, you may live longer. And, you know, whenever you see a good story about the pros of masturbation, well, hey, you know, why not just have some good news? It's Thursday. Really, why not? Now, let's talk about another high-speed prank from Michigan again. Look at that, the Vienna Town Express ship. Now, this is, I don't know how I feel about this prank. I think it's pretty good. The message was too good to be true. An electronic highway sign on Interstate 75 in Michigan told drivers the speed limit was 100 miles per hour, go, go, go. So that's what this... Okay, now, when the sign says, go, 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 you know, it's not the Half-Life highway, all right? It's just a regular highway, you know, Counter-Strike highway, 100 miles per hour, go, go, go. 4 months. A signboard in the Genesee County has been alerting commuters to construction that starts this month. Someone hacked the sign, which is controlled by a computer through a subcontractor. State highway officials say they're investigating who changed it and how. The speed limit of the area is 70. Bill Schreck, spokesman for the Michigan Department of Transportation, said officials weren't amused by the traffic message. Well, you know, it is kind of a little bad because we're dealing with speeds. You're 30 miles an hour over the limit. But realistically, he could have changed that to anything. He could have changed that to 100, 200, 500 miles an hour, right? So if he could have changed it to that, he only changed it to 100 miles per hour. Think about what they could have done there. They could have made the speed limit 30 miles per hour. They could have made the speed limit 200, 500 miles per hour. You know, and if the cops pull them over, realistically, I don't think the cops can give them a ticket because you're traveling at the posted sign. Because the cops are there to enforce what? The posted speed limit. So if you change this opens up a whole new concept here. If you can change the laws that the cops are enforcing, and the cops have no way of proving what laws they're enforcing. Wow, imagine the ramifications of something like that. Realistically, if you say, well, you're doing 100 in the 70 zone, you say, dude, you know, I don't mean, like, I recognize, yes, I agree, I was doing 100, but sir, I do believe this is 100 zone because that's what the posted sign says. And then the cop goes, well, it's actually 70 here. You say, but sir, the sign says 100. You go to court with that, you're getting off. You're getting off. That could be entrapment. They could say, well, you should have known. How the hell are you supposed to know? The sign was posted different. It's not like the sign's telling you to kill kids or something. It's just saying you can go 100 miles an hour. And realistically, who doesn't drive 100 miles per hour in a 70 zone? All they're doing there is taking away a little bit of extra revenue from the cops. And I can't really feel too bad about that. Now, everybody loves people who go to movies. You know, I love the Star Wars crowd. I love fans. A lot of people, you know, I watch some of these MTV things where Ed the Sock goes and he rips on Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans. And I've seen people rip on Stargate fans and all that kind of jazz. And I think that that is truly sad when people rip on those fans, because you have people out there that love this world. They love the world that has been created. They love the Star Wars world. They love the Star Trek world. They love the whatever world. You know what I mean? And I hope that one day, maybe after now, will grow beyond my control and it'll become this huge genre and there'll be films and conventions and everything. I'd love to see something like that. You know what I mean? Or get invited to some convention and have these amazing, noble, ingenious people, a lot of them, who, you know, are fans of these conferences and shows. I mean, a lot of these guys are like electronic engineers. All sorts of different types of people become fans. And everyone makes fun of them. Oh, you got no life lining up. Dude, everybody wants to believe in something. Everybody wants something. If you get joy out of going to a movie, having fun, dressing up in a costume, dude, that's what life is all about. It's about having fun. So if you're having fun, who cares? I don't think you should get arrested for it. It seems that some people who were big fans of Mad Max got arrested. What started as an enthusiastic tribute to the popular Mad Max movies ended with 11 people jailed. Now people all over the country are talking about it. A scene reenactment by some local road warriors have left a lot of people spooked. Now this is all more about people's just retarded versions of terror. We're afraid of everything. The 25th anniversary of the second Mad Max film, The Road Warrior, which is in the Guinness Book of World Records, I believe. If you haven't seen The Road Warrior, Mad Max 2, for God's sake, see it. It's amazing and super relevant for today. You can download it from anywhere. It's a great film, especially all you young people under the age of 20. If you have not seen Road Warrior Mad Max, that is a Sean K. approved film. You need to watch that right away. You will not regret it. No one will not like that movie. It is a fantastic film. So, 11 Mad Max fans were arrested after alarming motorists as they made their way to a movie marathon in a theatrical convoy in which they surrounded a tanker truck armed with fake machine guns. Ooh. Yeah, the fake machine guns. As the group was headed for San Antonio from nearby Bourne on Saturday, police received several calls from motorists who reported a militia surrounding a tanker truck, a police report states. Uh-huh. Police charged 9 people with obstruction of a highway and 2 others with possession of prohibited knives in addition to obstruction of a highway. Obstruction of a highway? I thought they were driving down the highway. If they pull them over, I suppose then they're obstructing. And prohibited knives? Please. Obviously, this is whim laws. They're obviously just jacking people over. Mad Max fan Chris Fenner collects replica movie costumes, T-shirts, the film's special police badges. Ooh, that'd be cool. And has even one of the star's signatures on his motorcycle. His Mad Max-looking motorcycle is autographed by star Vernon Wells. Fenner organized what ended up being a convoy to the Mad Max festival that scared a lot of people. I guess Vernon Wells is the dude with the mohawk, I believe. Fenner says the arrests were unfair. He said he didn't know why anyone would have confused a costumes crew for creating a scene from Mad Max 2 Road Warrior set in a post-apocalyptic wasteland with a real threat, which is true. I honestly don't know how it could be, because Road Warrior is so over the top, which is true. I mean, you see guys driving down the road with, like, mohawks, and they got, you know, fake bungee sticks and stuff. It's obviously not going to be a problem. But, you know, people are so terrified now, they don't know what to do. Oh, my God. About 25 people participated in a convoy. More than twice that number was expected to attend the movie marathon, which was canceled after the arrests. That's just sad. You know, I've often thought that it'd be awesome to do like a total Lord Humongous ripoff, you know, out there in the wasteland. Just walk away. You know, you could totally do that. Just leave the IP address. Walk away. Seriously. Seriously, you gotta love The Road Warrior. If you haven't seen it, my God, check that movie out for no other reason than just the fact that this made the news, and you just thumb your nose at those people, because anybody to arrest fans for something like that, that's just ridiculous. You know, that is just ridiculous. Now, getting past that and the terror, good children make good citizens, and good citizens turn in their parents. Listen to this for Gestapo bullshit. Last month's school shootings in Minnesota has stirred interest in an organized snitch programs that pay students for telling on other classmates who carry drugs or carry guns or drugs or violate school rules. Now, this is just a method for the in crowd to ostracize the out crowd. Maybe now is the time for us to stop wearing makeup. Maybe now it's getting so dangerous that if you can get snitched on because you think differently and you know what's going to happen, oh, he's a loner. He's not going to make it. Oh, well, you get evaluated by our counselor. Ding! Oh, you're depressed. You get to go on drugs. Ding! And then, you know, once you graduate school, you go on more drugs. Ding! And you're no longer able to be in society. You see how that works? If you don't fit in, you don't fit in. Last month's school shootings in Minnesota has stirred interest in organized snitch program that pays students for telling on classmates who carry guns or drugs or violate school rules. So any violation, this is a paid snitch program. Last week in Central Georgia, the Houston County School Board became the state's first district to enroll the National Student Crime Stoppers program, started in 1983. Students can earn up to $500 for alerting school officials about firearms. They can get up to $100 for fingering classmates involved in vandalism, theft, or drugs. Another Georgia high school, Model High School in Rome, said last week it implemented a program that pays students up to $100 for information about thefts, drugs, or guns on school property. It's not a reaction to anything that's happening on campus, said Tim Hensley, spokesman for the Floyd County Schools. It's a proactive attempt from the principal's standpoint. Now, that's fine if that's what it's for. I mean, who wants guns in school? I don't want guns in school, that's for sure. But, you know, gotta watch this because this could get dangerous. There's a balance here between creating a society of snitches and creating a sense of community responsibility, says Russ Skiba, professor of education psychology at Indiana University in Bloomington. Skiba, who co-chaired the U.S. Education Department project on violence prevention in 11 schools, says he worries road programs are knee-jerk reactions to the school shootings in Red Lake, Minnesota. Student Jeff Weiss, 16, of Red Lake, killed 9 people and wounded 14 before killing himself March 21. Now, which actually isn't a bad record, really. I mean, he took out 9. That's not bad. He's doing pretty good for someone. Normally, they shoot up a whole bunch and they don't get anybody. But he did get 9 and then wounded another 14, which is amazing how he wounded 14. You know, you think that if you're shooting people and you mean to kill them, why didn't he just do them in? I guess he should be playing more video games, huh? It's just the ridiculousness of this whole thing. They're treating the symptoms. You know, they don't realize that these kids have huge, in-depth problems, and just snitching on them isn't going to solve shit. The Model High program began before Red Lake shootings, Hensley said. About 650 student school money from candy and soda will be used to pay $10 for valid information about campus thefts, $25, $50 for tips on drugs, and $100 for leads on gun possession or other felonies. So I don't really think this is going to be that that effective, to be honest with you. A similar program at Cherryville High School in rural Glasson County, NC, has worked really well, Principal Stephen Hoffenslatter said. He implemented the program 2 years ago. This year, we've given out $1,100, he said. For $100, they'll turn their own mothers in. That's what he says. Now, you got to bear in mind, if these kids are selling drugs in school, $100 is not a lot of cash. Furthermore, in a lot of cities in the United States, if you snitch on kids in school, you'll get shot, because a lot of these drug-dealing kids have no other options, so you're putting kids in harm's way by making them snitches. But nobody, of course, cares about that. Nobody gives a shit about that because, you know, they just don't think these things through, I guess. Yes, we need to do something about children's violence, but what we need to do is discover why that violence is there and then treat the cause, not the symptoms. Just my own personal guideline. And I got some more current news from Gattaca. For those of you across the pond who don't know what Gattaca is, well, that would be the one and only, the beautiful United Kingdoms. I'm basically calling them Gattaca from now on. Although, really, Australia's getting really close to taking that title. But, you know, the whole thing. I mean, Australia was founded by, I believe, Irish convicts that were kicked out of the country by the British, and then they did medical experiments on them. The British have a really dark history. You know, they're generally, a lot of the whole British thing is just not that friendly. A lot of the British rule and stuff like that. Lots of cool people in England, got to bear in mind. The birthplace of punk, got to give them that, but there's a reason why punk was born there. Now, 33 people were ordered exposed in Gattaca. I'm sorry, the UK. A British judge today ordered that five ISPs had to name 33 music file sharers. The individuals concerned had uploaded more than 72,000 music files to the internet. According to the statement by the BPI, British Phonographic Industry, bunch of pinheads. Yeah, we got 72,000 files. They uploaded all these files. Can you prove that? Yeah, give me a break. If you were to go through all the files I've had travel through my computer, probably a hell of a lot more than 72,000. Which sought the court order as part of its broader legal offensive against illegal downloading on P2P networks. Now, this is obviously a case of core politicals using the judicial system to enforce company policy. The ISPs concerned have 2 weeks to give the UK's Record Companies Trade Association names and address of the file sharers. The case brings numbers of people to the UK to face legal charges for illegal file sharing. Up to 90 people are getting charged with this shit. The people will face claims for compensation and legal costs in pursuing them, the BPI warns. So if you don't pay us, not only do you have to pay for the compensation, but we'll hit you for the legal costs as well. So you better do it. This is blatant extortion. This is totally bullying. This is completely bullying. You know, if you keep doing this, people are going to get violent. You know, that's not a threat. It's a promise. It's a prophecy, dude. If you keep doing this and people keep feeling stepped on, they're going to turn violent. Let's find another way to get around this, because realistically, is the BPI really, is this really worth this effort? This is, oh, god damn, I hate this. BPI General Counsel Jeff Taylor said the court order should remind every user of a peer-to-peer file sharing service in Britain that they're not anonymous. These 33 people will now face paying thousands of pounds in compensation. We are continuing to collect evidence every day against people who are still uploading music illegally, despite the warnings we have given. If you want to avoid the risk of court action, stop file sharing and buy music legally. You swine! We will take you outside and we will kill you. You will go to the camps. Today, more details of 31 people subjected to the BPI's last round of writs in March 2005 also emerged. A third group of those defendants are now thought to be parents whose accounts have been used to upload music illegally by their children. No, don't take my baby! 11 of the 31 are from London and the Southeast End. Another file share hails from Norfolk, while five live in West Country. Two of the file sharers live in the Midlands, and with five from Yorkshire and Northwest. Two of the file sharers are from Northern Ireland, three from Scotland, and two from Wales. Now, what if they don't have the money? Why don't we put them in jail? Shit, why don't we just skip the whole money thing? Let's make them forced labor. They could assemble CDs, right, for the BPI. Because if they haven't got the money because they're kids, that's why they're, you know, downloading music that they're going to buy. But, of course, they're not allowed to have music. No one's allowed to have music. So, you know, if they can't pay for these things, then we should put them in camps, shouldn't we? They're low income. Who cares? We can make slave labor out of them. We could tattoo little barcodes on them if you violate your listener license. This whole notion is just so insane. Oh, my God. I better stop. I'm going to get a nosebleed. I swear to God. Now, speaking of swearing to God, let's talk about the new Catholic hardliner pope they got in. Catholic hardliner Mark 16. You betcha. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, 78 years old, now to be known as Pope Benedict the 16th, was a clear favorite to fill the vacancy left by Pope John Paul's the death. Super pope. I kind of like Pope JP. As one of the most influential men in the Vatican, he presided over the Pope's funeral earlier this month and said to be among the pontiff's closest friends, all of which is bullshit. Cardinal Ratzinger has been the head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, formerly known as the Holy Office of the Inquisition. Jesus, there's a title. Since 1981, the Holy Office of the Inquisition? One of his first campaigns was against liberation theology, which had gained ground among priests in Latin America and elsewhere as a means of involving the church in social activism and human rights issues. Well, we wouldn't want that. He has described homosexuality as a tendency towards intrinsic moral evil. Oh, that's good. During the U.S. election campaign, he called for pro-choice politicians to be denied communion. Oh, good. So he's pretty liberal then. He has also argued that Turkey should not be admitted to the European Union. The eighth German to become a pope speaks 10 languages. and is said to be an accomplished pianist with a preference for Beethoven. Yeah, because he was kind of deaf and dumb, too. Oh, that was a slag. Sorry. Cardinal Ratzinger was born in traditional Bavarian family in 1927, although his father was a policeman. At the age of 14, he joined the Hitler Youth, but that doesn't mean shit, because everybody had to join the Hitler Youth back then, so I'm not going to nail the son of a bitch for something he did when he was 14, all right? And he had to do it, because if you didn't join the Hitler Youth, well, you wind up going to the camps, which was required of young Germans at the time, and was not an enthusiastic member. Yeah, he's been screaming about how he's not, I was never a member of the Nazi Youth, and I was a window cleaner in West Sussex for 10 years. His studies in the Trostenstein Cemetery were interrupted during World War II when he was drafted into an anti-aircraft unit in Munich. He deserted the German army towards the end of the war and was briefly held a prisoner of war by the Allies in 1945. Holy crap. His supporters say his experience under the Nazi regime convinced him that the church had to stand up for truth and freedom. But they're not supposed to be involved with social activism, I guess. Cardinal Ratzinger's conservative traditional views were intensified by his experience during the liberal 1960s. Great. In 1966... he took a chair in dogmatic theology at the University of Tübingen. However, he was appalled by the prevalence of Marxism amongst his students. So, big shock, the new pope is a hardline conservative. Well, you know. I guess you can't really be all that shocked. He's the pope, after all. You know, realistically, the Catholic Church has been all about dominated religions and Latin. These are the people who never wanted the Bible translated into English. These are the people who always wanted to keep people under their thumb. These are the people who really, for the last, 1,600 years, the Vatican has been influencing world affairs. Realistically, this empire, the Vatican Empire, with their emperor, the Pope, there, you know, do they do more harm than good? What is it that the Vatican does? Well, they run church affairs. Great. What does the church do? Huh? What does the Roman Catholic Church do? Well, they look after orphans. You know what? There's lots of people who look after orphans. We don't need the Roman Catholic Church anymore. It's obsolete by a factor of, oh, I don't know, probably 150 years. Now, I'm going to get big trouble for saying that. And I got no problem with the Pope. You know what? He's doing his thing. That's his cause. He's fighting his cause and everything. But we all know that they've got all the files. They've got world's intelligence. They have treasures that belong to the world locked in the Vatican basement. Realistically, how much do you think the Bible would stand up if we got into the Vatican basement and took a look at all the stuff they've been hiding down there because it goes against the doctrine? Because the truth is a beautiful thing. The truth will set you free. And I'm a big believer in the truth. So now we got this new pope. And they say, you know, all the conspiracy theorists say there's one more pope after this. He's the pope of the end times. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. Me and the Wogs got our packs. We'll be just fine. And if we're not going to be fine, there's nothing we can do about it. So bring it on there, pope boy. Bring on your holy office of the Inquisition. You know what? Because we're not going to attack you. We're just not going to take part. We don't want to eat your crackers. We don't want to be given no priest summers. It's going to be fine. You can go sexually assault other little boys in other countries. Okay? But as for us, we're not going to get involved with that. Incidentally, if we catch you sexually assaulting children, we're going to shoot you. Now, let's get into RFID warnings. Like, that makes a difference. Sean, did you just to clean up here, Sean, did you just say that it was okay to shoot priests? Well, if the priests are pedophiles and they're raping little boys, especially under the guise of God, what would Jesus do? Jesus would be loading up the Magnum. I'll tell you that. Just walk away. Buck. Seriously. Seriously, I'm a firm believer that if Christ was walking around today, he'd be driving a Harley, he'd have a great big Magnum on his hip, and he'd be stopping at all the churches where all the priests are touching little kids in the bad spot. Let's get on to RFID warnings. Now, we know we're making some headway when the RFID warnings are coming up, but this still doesn't make a difference. We don't want any RFID. Consumer retailers and manufacturers this week promised to help shoppers disable or discard radio tags attached to their purchases in coming years. Now, this is just more boiling water. No. No RFID. I don't want it on there. If that's what shoppers really want. Yes, that's what shoppers really want. You don't tell us what we want. We tell you what we want. We don't want you tracking our shit. The companies are trying to appease consumer privacy advocates who worry that data gathered from radio frequency identification tags, the item descriptions as unique ID codes, will be married with shoppers' personal data, making the tags into tracking devices for marketers, thieves, and possibly the government. The companies, chiefly retailers and their suppliers, will say they will self-enforce policies requiring them to inform customers whether tags are present on packaging within products. So they'll self-enforce that. which obviously means they'll do it for, like, what, a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then, you know, no one cares, and just, I don't have to take off these tags, whatever. And they bring it in. Again, frog in the pot of boiling water. We don't want any warnings, dude. We don't want RFID tags. So you know what? We'll just get around that by getting some jammers. We'll jam our RFID. We'll wipe the data. We'll wipe them in the stores. We'll make it so goddamn expensive for you to try to track us that it'll just blow your freaking mind. Personally, I've done links on the show before for mass RFID wipers. They're talking about ways to scan whole crowds. And I think, personally, it'd be great for walks to just walk around inside of malls and cleaning up all the sloppy data that people are tracking people with. I mean, wouldn't it just be wonderful to sit there on a bench in a mall with your backpack on, and you know that you're beaming out all this data that's wiping everyone who walks by. Right by the escalator there. And everybody walks by, you're smiling at them, and they don't know, but you're looking after them. And technically, then the WOGs would become kind of like, well, digital guardian angels. Looking after people, the little people who don't have the time or the inclination to get this far involved with their rights, but they still have a fact. They still have the right to their rights. They still have a right to privacy, even though they don't know about it. If ignorance of the law is no defense, then is ignorance of your rights an excuse to take them away? I don't think so. Now, just to help you get through the crazy stuff that happens in everyday life, we're going to talk about today's daily hack, which is how to meditate. A really, really good thing to do, and I highly advise everyone do this. You cannot get anything. This will only make you stronger, really, and it's so easy to do. So please check this out. Please investigate meditation. It's so good for you, especially in today's day and age where you're totally media saturated. This is especially powerful if you have to make a major decision because you have to focus your mind to put all your processing power into one application. The practice of mindfulness / awareness meditation is common to all Buddhist traditions. Beyond that, it is common to inherent in all human beings. In meditation, we are constantly discovering who and what we are. This can be quite frightening or quite boring, but after a while, all that slips away. We get into some kind of natural rhythm and begin to discover our basic mind and heart. Often, we think about meditation as some kind of unusual, holy, or spiritual activity. As we practice this one basic beliefs we try to overcome. That is one of the basic beliefs we try to overcome. It's not some kind of unusual, holy, or spiritual activity. It's a very essential activity. The point is that meditation is completely normal, and it is the mindful quality present in everything we do. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy world. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to stand up and fight in this time of tyranny. Those people are Forley, Dave, the Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Horn, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diarmute, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. Thank you so much. And new subscribers this month. These are the reinforcements who came to help us. They would be Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, and User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. Now, if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please go visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab because every little bit helps. Special thanks to our army of flying monkeys, the hard netrunners who recon this data. Ronan Saria, Tribu, Deadcode, Rainstreak, The Boon, Ricky Rocket, and Deadcode. Thanks so much, guys. And don't forget, we got upcoming events. There's the Linux Fest in Washington you want to check out. And thanks to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by the album Blackout by the band PTI. And I'm going to leave you now with an open source music project tracked by Prono Bozo, I believe is how you say it, Prono Bozo, called Full Flex. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of lock. Coming up, Full Flex, fresh with a message for ya. If you're not flexing, we got your corner. Don't cross paths with a ninja warrior. I slice three times before you even know what's up. Full speed, max performer. Don't fuck with us, I'm there, I want ya. Show me what you got when you come and correct. So make a mess, let's let you do your best. Full Flex. Notorious, I go Full Flex when I'm serious. Yeah, I'm up to dangerous. Full flex when the intellects. It's full flex when we break your neck. Full flex.
relax and don't laugh, cause I'm coming to your house next. Full blast. Check, check, one, check, two. Walk up, this bit, bring your whole crew. Get your MC, beat your black and blue. Roundhouse kick, go, 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 cool. Make so much green, you can hold a headless. You're not your rider, rider, with a lyrical text. In full effect, yeah, we call it a rest. Fantastic way when we come full flex. Full flex, we get respect. Full flex, we own the rest. Waving full flex on the internet. Full flex, when the phone's the best, come on. Fall flex, let's fall flex.